Does the gospel reading for today leave you going, huh? What did he just say? Make friends for yourselves by means of dishonest wealth? Jesus didn't really just say that, did he? Well, don't feel alone, my friends. This particular story has boggled the minds of biblical scholars for generations. Truthfully, I would have loved to preach on another one of the texts this morning. But because the gospel is so perplexing, it kept calling me back. So let's see if we can make some sense of this most challenging of Jesus's parables by trying to position it in the broader context of Luke's gospel. So let's set the scene. Jesus is with a group for dinner, and it seems he has been there for some time. If you had been reading right through the gospel according to Luke, in fact, it appears he has been eating with this same group of folk since the beginning of chapter 15. Sounds a little bit like a St. Francis dinner. Kind of goes on a while. And although he seems to be speaking to the disciples in today's reading, earlier verses tell us that it was really a very eclectic group of people in attendance. There were sinners and tax collectors, as well as the ever vigilantly watching Pharisees and scribes. Anyway, Jesus has been doing quite a bit of teaching at this dinner. In relatively quick succession, he has told us the parable of the lost sheep and the lost coin. We heard those last week. And then just prior to today's story, he tells the ultimate tale of forgiveness and reconciliation, which of course is the story of the prodigal son. And now it's getting late, and the crowd, I suspect, is getting tired. So Jesus has to really crank it up a notch and use his most engaging oratory skills in order to not lose his audience. What we get is the parable we read this morning, often called the parable of the dishonest servant, or of the unjust steward, or the crafty manager. It is often believed to be the most puzzling of all of Jesus's parables, not just because the main character is a dishonest person with some pretty dicey ethics, but because it appears that he is being held up to us as a model for others to emulate. It is as bold and as challenging a story as Jesus has ever told. And it must have electrified the audience that first heard it, leaving those present to maybe say, "Could you say that again?" Or maybe look to each other going, "He didn't really say that, did he?" Now, remember that Jesus has just told the story of the prodigal son, about the cranky older brother and the ridiculously forgiving father. You see, today's mystifying parable may well highlight the same situation. Someone in trouble stumbles into grace practically by accident. In the story of the prodigal, the younger son makes some very selfish choices that offend almost everyone. And then he only comes to his senses to the degree that he realizes he has to make some changes just to survive. So continuing to act in his own self-interest, he returns home, only to discover that grace and forgiveness have been waiting for him the whole time. And we almost have a sense right at the end that maybe he finally is beginning to understand what it means to be loved. Well, in today's story, the dishonest manager is in an equally bad situation, really kind of for the same reason. He has acted entirely selfishly. When his employer confronts him, he figures his goose is cooked. So he continues to act in his own self-interest by cutting deals with all of his employer's debtors. What he wants, of course, is for now these people to owe him something, because manual labor is beneath him, and begging, well, that's just too embarrassing. And what's disturbing to those of us listening to this story is that it works. In fact, it works even better, maybe, than he thought it would. Not only do the people who owe him money or owe money to his boss get a great deal, the manager himself has regained some status in the eyes of his employer because of his shrewdness. Well, this is crazy, right? This is upside down grace on the highest order. We who hear this story want him to pay for his dishonesty, don't we? Not get out of a stinky, sticky situation smelling like a rose. What kind of moral example is that? Well, it isn't one. What Jesus seems to be highlighting in this story, which we can maybe see more clearly by comparing it to that story of the prodigal son, is the ridiculous nature of God's grace and our call to participate in it, whether it's for good reason or not. Jesus commends the shrewd, the shady manager as an example, not for his dishonest dealings, but for his clever solution. But Jesus doesn't stop there. He says that if this manager, who is of this world, meaning someone whose values are entirely self-oriented, if this manager has managed to scratch and claw his way into a better situation, what can Jesus' followers do, he asks, with the grace of God behind them? What Jesus thinks his followers are capable of is what he himself has been doing: healing and reconciling and truth-telling. In other words, proclaiming the kingdom. He is telling us that we must be clever as the manager in today's gospel, serving our self-interest while serving the best interests of the world that God loves by building up that kingdom. Wait a minute, what'd she just say? Does that sound odd for me to say that we can serve our own self-interest while serving God? Well, I would ask you, who among us has ever had totally pure motives? Aren't we always a mixture of shadow and light? If you ask the greatest, most generous givers in the world, those people who go far and away outside the norm with regard to their generosity or their service, I am betting that every single one would tell you they receive much more than they give. See, we get all hung up in the undeniable fact that the unjust steward in this story is acting dishonestly in his own efforts to manipulate. And we would like to distance ourselves from that kind of behavior. But Jesus chooses just this kind of story to wake us up, to remind us that God can use even our actions that come from mixed motives. So acting with my own mixed motives this morning, I would also take this opportunity to remind you, this is the season of the stewardship campaign. Yes. And so you can serve both God and your own self-interest by making a generous pledge to the church. And yet, having said that, I really have to stress that's not what this primary message is about. This challenging parable is really much more directed at our mixed motives related to forgiveness. Why forgive someone who has hurt us or acted contrary to our sense of what is right? Well, we could do it out of love for the other person, but a lot of times we're just not there yet. We could forgive the other person to honor the words we say every Sunday when we say the Lord's Prayer, because we know we would like to be forgiven. Or we could forgive because we have experienced what it's like to be unforgiving people. So we know that refusing to forgive because we don't want that other person to benefit really hurts us much more than it does him. How's that for self-serving? Or we could forgive because we are or we want to be deeply in touch with that power that Jesus has about forgiving. Or we could forgive because we think it'll increase our odds to win the lottery. You see, they're really, that sounds outrageous, just as this parable did to the original hearers of this story. But if it wakes us up to the fact that Jesus is calling us to forgive, then it's done its job. Even though our motives are less than pure most of the time, the truth is there is no bad reason to forgive others. Extending the kind of grace that God shows us can only put us more deeply in touch with that grace. See, God can even use our mixed motives to transform us. Now that, my friends, is good news. Amen.